right here on the Voice of America.
Today on Straight Talk Africa, a look at the game of chess as an agent of social change or an inspiration to children in poor neighborhoods or communities. That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Sheka Sali, and today we are discussing chess and how it can be used to empower youth in Africa and the United States. We start with the fascinating story of a Ugandan man who grew up in the slums of the Ugandan capital, Kampala, and uses chess as a tool to mentor young people to overcome daily challenges. My colleague, Paul Ndiho, has more on the story.
Ugandan influencer Robert Katende was until recently relatively unknown at home and abroad. His story of keeping hope alive and mentoring slum kids through the game of chess is the subject of a 2016 Disney movie dubbed Queen of Katwe, a film that chronicles Fiona Mutesi, a young Ugandan girl raised by a single mother, Harriet, played by Kenyan Academy Award recipient Rupita Nyong'o, and Robert Katende, played by David Oyelowo, a Nigerian-American actor. In his memoir, A Night Without a Castle, a story of resilience and hope, Katende says his song, Chess Academy in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, has attracted significant attention for its work. The center encourages children from impoverished communities to play the board game to enhance their critical thinking, improve patience, and develop other skills.
We are having so many social challenges, but the way the kids are growing up, they have not been given an opportunity to be self-reliant, to take personal decisions, to be accountable to their actions. Now, when they come to the chess game, the philosophy of Som Chess Academy and the Robert Katende Initiative basically is to use chess as a platform to instill these concepts into the lives of these kids so that we can be able to nurture the life skills required for them to be successful.
Like Fiona Mutesi in the movie Queen of Katwe, who becomes very passionate about chess and so good that she ends up playing in international tournaments on the Ugandan team as a teenager in 2010, Chess Olympiad in Russia. Sherif Waswa Mbazira is making his mark too at the Som Chess Academy. The 17-year-old says he always plays to win, and in 2018, his focus paid off when he won the bronze medal at the World Junior Chess Championship for the disabled in New Jersey, USA. He is the first Ugandan with a disability to represent the country in an international chess tournament.
Before I started to play chess, at home they were not believing me. They were knowing I'm disabled completely. Like other people, they are going to go on load, begging money, so on. And for me, I said, okay, you believe what you know, but for me, I believe in myself.
Despite all the hardship he has gone through, Robert Katende's ability to mentor people is impressive, and his journey to international stardom is incredible.
Where I want them to go is to see that I can build their self-esteem, to see that their hopes have been inspired and restored, and also to see that they have what to offer in the society.
Amos Mwesigwa, a chess player, is one of Robert's apprentices.
If I keep playing chess, I become a chess master, I will have enough money to satisfy my needs, to buy a car, to build a house.
Robert's success against all odds illuminates a situation many find difficult to imagine. But perhaps his life story will inspire you to achieve even greater things. Robert's work has caught the attention of world leaders, including Bill and Melinda Gates, as well as the Obama Foundation, where he serves as African ambassador. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington, D.C. studio are two distinguished guests. Robert Katende, founder and director of the Sports Outreach Ministry Chess Academy. Sydney Gardiner, director of the Sports Outreach Ministry Chess Academy in Baltimore, the state of Maryland. And by Skype from the state of Washington in the United States, we are joined by Benjamin Mukumbia, president of the student body of Northwest University in Kirkland, and the beneficiary of the SOM Academy. Well, I have to say, Robert and Sydney and Benjamin, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you for the first time, mind you, on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Ndugu Shaka, for having us.
You're most welcome, sir.
And thank you, Ian. Thanks for inviting me.
You're most welcome.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Benjamin, all the way from the state of Washington, not to be confused, by the way, with Washington, D.C., which happens to be the District of Columbia and the capital of the United States of America. Let me come to you immediately, Robert. You are wearing an incredibly beautiful African shirt.
Thank you.
Where did you get that from?
Basically, I got it from Uganda. It was designed, and this is the fabric of Uganda.
Really?
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, who inspired you to think about or to believe that you could actually use chess as an agent or a tool for social change?
Yeah, I think maybe I was inspired by the course I took in sports ministry. When I finished my university. I was volunteering with sports outreach, and during that time, that's when I took a one-year course in sports ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that actually I can use sports to impact lives, and that's what I am. I'm sports-oriented as an individual, so I felt like this is what I have to offer.
As I read through your book, if there is anything that you seem to be an expert at, it was football. Others call it soccer. So how come you did not think about using football, which is a sport that is very, very accessible to a lot of people where you come from, and that you actually went for chess?
Yeah, actually, honestly speaking, I do play football even up to now. I'm a very good soccer scorer. I still play for the Good News Football Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played actually even in Uganda. I've managed some bit of football. But definitely football is limited when it comes to the slums. I first used football to reach out.
There are no playgrounds.
You don't have space, exactly. And I remember the first year I was using football, but somehow it was limited because you could only engage the few boys, because by then it was known to be so much of a boys' sport. But when you come to chess, it's more convenient. You just get a veranda and you engage the youths. You don't need all that much space as it would be required for football.
You're talking about Katwe, which at one time I used to know rather well when I was very, very young. There was a very famous nightclub, White Nile Club, and there was also there was publishing, actually, a Uganda language newspaper, Buganda Post, which my father used to contribute to, and I think it was published by a Ugandan journalist by the name Jore George Chiwanuka, who used to drive a very beautiful blue citron. Some of those things around there in Katwe?
I think these are just, we just know that these things used to be there, but the community has totally transformed. It is changing day by day. It's now, Katwe is now so much known as an artisan kind of environment.
Mm.
People who are so creative, trying to figure out metalworks and all that. There is a lot of potential, just that it's an opportunity which is lacking in the community there.
Entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I think there is also a very nice African dish restaurant, very famous. Some friends at one time took me there. Does it belong to, is it Namata, Nalongo?
Yeah, I think there is, she's called Nalongo, near
Nalongo.
The mosque, yes.
Yes.
It's very famous, it's very famous. It really...
I've been there and I was able to eat my favorite dish, which was basically dry fish mixed with the groundnut stew and matoke.
Sure.
Very interesting. Now, Sydney.
Yes.
How are you?
Very well, and you?
It's a pleasure to really have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time, and I gather that you call Baltimore, Maryland, home.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. I used to hang out there, as I told you before the show. I used to have a friend who used to teach at Coppin State College, and I was at UCLA as a graduate student, so sometimes I would actually fly in for some summer break.
Okay.
And I would go around. I go around the harbor and what have you, and Johns Hopkins University.
Great.
Great research institution.
Sure, you could come back and visit more often.
I definitely will now that at least we have linked up.
Okay.
Interestingly, you seem to have developed an interest in using chess as a tool for social change from your friend from Uganda, right here. Is that true?
That is true. Yes.
So does that mean that Uganda is now a superpower in the sense that it is getting into the business, in fact, of providing the United States with some form of foreign aid?
Well, somewhat, yeah. We exchange, we have a mutual benefit that we exchange our ideas and we sit and talk. So that is great. We are trying to exchange ideas and make things happen here in Maryland and in Baltimore, the same as in Uganda.
And how do you find it so far?
Very good. It's challenging. Right now, we're in our first year of infancy.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting kids in. We're starting to teach them using Robert's example and model. And things are working out very well.
What is the response so far?
So far, we have about 12, 13 kids that come. We meet once a week on Thursdays. We pick up again in January.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be every Thursday at the rec center where we use chess as well as teaching life skills and other things like that.
Let us talk about the bottom line. Where do you get the funding from?
Well, we were fortunate enough to apply for a grant through Baltimore City. It's called the Baltimore Children's Youth Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to, along with a friend of mine who's a director of the rec center, Easterwood Rec Center in Baltimore, we were able to get funding to promote our chess as well as other activities at the rec center.
Very interesting. Benjamin, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
How does it feel like to be in the state of Washington, to be at the university, to be a student leader, and to be studying biology as a major, hoping at some point, I gather, to become a doctor with a real clinic that will help people when they get sick?
It is really a great, very great opportunity and an honor to be here in the state, and one of the most expensive cities in the U.S., Oakland. It's such a blessing, and being the student body president is another blessing that I get to serve the community. It's interesting that the first year I came here, I didn't tell you this, but I started the chess club. So, yeah, Robert really taught me the skills that gave me a platform to be where I am right now.
Very interesting. Are you now in, from what I hear, you are now in the third year?
Yes, this is our third year at the chess club. We are going to be representing the university in the Pan Am. Starting 26th of December in North Carolina. Yeah.
And you are at the university with your colleague Fiona Mutesi, and both of you, of course, starred in a very interesting movie titled Queen of Katwe.
Yes, we did.
Very interesting. Now, Benjamin, when walk us back to Uganda, at the time when your mother was begging you or even cajoling and probably even forcing you to join Mr. Robert Katende's Chess Academy, and you didn't want to hear anything about it. How does it feel like now?
Right now, I look back and I do appreciate the efforts my mother did. Even though I loved soccer so much, I believe chess really transformed my life more than soccer could have done. I still do play soccer, but I believe that chess has, it's like, some people say chess is like life. So all these principles that we really deal with in life, they are just put on a small chess set. And if you get a good mentor, a good teacher, a good coach like Robert, basically it helps because he lives the principles. And once he teaches you on the chessboard, it becomes very easy. I think I really made a good choice to join the chess club, and I'm so grateful.
Very interesting. Robert, how do you feel when you are sitting in Studio 47 here in Washington, D.C., and you are on the same show with someone that you have really influenced his life in a very positive sense, like Benjamin?
Yeah, Ndugu Shaka, it's quite humbling. And looking at my life as well, and I contemplate where I've come from, the many times I contemplated on taking my life, like leading a hopeless kind of life situation.
You wanted to commit suicide?
Yeah, because I grew up
with a rat poison.
Exactly, because like it was so tough for my, you know, like growing up without, you know, you're given birth to by a teen mom who can take care of you. And they can't even present you to your dad because he had another family. So you are kind of put on a death sentence right at birth. And people like looking up to you, where is that imposter? We need to get him. So, and then you just struggle through life with no certainty of anything. Now to see that you've been able to impact other people's lives, I think I've come to believe there's nothing rewarding in this life than when you do have another life celebrating yours that you have made theirs better.
What would you say, Robert, that is the single most important decision that you have made thus far in your life?
I think there are two. Number one was when I almost was the, I would say maybe a point of death because I got a very serious injury. Mm-hmm. I had never expected to get a very big injury like that in a football
game.
That
is in football.
Yeah, and I decided to give my life to Christ. And that is when I think I got a revelation that I had been given a second chance to live. But I didn't know what to do next, and I was always praying and saying, God, if you give me a chance to live, I'll try to be a blessing to the rest. The second decision I took is when I decided to invest in the children in the slums. I didn't know, because it was like a stupid decision then, because I couldn't even think about it, because you have the training in engineering, you feel like you've made it to education and you want to achieve the best for yourself. But I decided to go pick a chessboard and go to the slums. I didn't know that it will ever impact as many lives as it has done. So I think I'm just grateful that I made that choice.
Now, when you're talking about chess, really, you know as well as I do that it is not a game, especially when you talk about Uganda or you talk about Africa, it is not a game that is widely accessible. In other words, a place like Katwe, where you are talking about, there are very, very few people, frankly, that can even understand the word chess when you talk about it. How did it come to you that maybe that was the sort of magic wand that you actually needed?
Yeah, Shaka, I also grew up from the slums of Nakulabye. So I totally identify with the children in the slums because I was sleeping in Chiwonya, and then we would default the rent. We would now cross over to Chiaye. We stay there for some months. We default rent. We go back to Chiwonya. Uh-huh. So that was a kind of lifestyle.
What about the nearby Katwe Shinyoro?
I just found myself now going to Katwe. We could go all the way down to Chivulu, near Makerere. And that's the kind of life I led. Now, going in here is... I was looking at how can I have a platform to engage these youths. It was a struggle for me to go through or to college, but I realized that I lacked someone to lean against. It was because of football and the few people who really came along my support to see that I can go through. And because I was a soccer player and football is something big there, they sing your name, you have fans you don't even ever get to know. So somehow I made through to education, through the college. But I was asking myself, how can I have a platform where I can engage the youths to guide them, to show them that they can be able to move forward? And chess is such a fundamental tool because it offers all these ingredients that someone needs to succeed in life.
Very interesting. Robert has actually said in his book that he considers chess to be a metaphor of life. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with him?
Oh, absolutely. When I was growing up, Shaka, I played sports too, like Robert. And my favorite sport was football, American football.
Really?
And I had a high school coach that said, Sydney, and here all the team members, football is like a game of life. You're going to meet someone who's going to knock you to the ground. You don't lay there. You get back up and get back into the game. You may even become the hero of the game after being knocked down several times.
Mm-hmm.
So chess also provides those same kind of life teachings. And that's why I'm engaged with this, because I think it's something we can teach all of our youth, is to be ready for life's challenges.
Mm-hmm. Is it very easy, for example, to get the money to buy the equipment that you need in order to play chess?
It's a struggle, because some folks see chess as just a game.
Mm.
But I think if they really look at it, they can apply life lessons throughout the game of chess.
Mm,
so it does become a little challenging to raise funds to get the things that we need, but we make with what we have.
Very interesting. Benjamin, what would you say is the single most important decision that you have yet made?
Looking back at my early years, I think the single most decision that I made was to join the chess club and be with the chess people and learn chess, because when I look back, it's where I got to know about, I was open to another world that otherwise I would never gotten to know about. And chess taught me that even with all the circumstances around me, I can still really be a better version of myself through the game, because my first tournament really gave me the reason and the courage to be like, yes, if I won my first chess tournament and I haven't been playing for like years, I really can make it in life. And I think that's the decision that really led to me making other decisions and better decisions and better decisions.
So I take it that you agree with Robert and Sydney that chess indeed may in fact be a metaphor of life?
Yes, and what you said that Dr. Shaka is an example of transformation change, and I think I'm an example of transformation change through chess.
Very interesting. What would you say that so far chess has taught you that you probably would never have learned anywhere else?
Chess teaches a lot of thinking that you can never get anywhere, abstractive, analytical, and critical. Because during the game, after observing, you have to think about the decisions and look at all the decisions that you can make, and then come up with the most absolute best idea, and that you form a plan out of. And I think those are the concepts that are not taught in class, and you can never get them anywhere. And they're not tangible. You cannot be like, okay, class, we're going to teach you about thinking. And another thing is patience. After getting the observations and seeing all the moves you can make, you have to be patient and push through to make the best decision. I think those are very important things that chess has really added to my life.
Very interesting. Robert, in your book, you talk about how, among other things, chess helps people to develop character. What exactly do you mean by that?
You know, what I mean is, you know, there are, I call it like soft skills that everyone requires in life. When you get to engage in chess, there are some there are soft skills that you acquire in terms of play. Like when you get to make decisions, you think, and things don't come out the way you expect them to come out. Sometimes you are caught on a flat note and you lose a piece, but you have to recompose yourself and think strategically, how do you get out of that?
And this you think is, strategically.
Yeah, you think strategically in every situation, and all these things, actually the core of my program is the ability to integrate these concepts into a lifestyle. And that's what we always do, that when we get to do sit on a chessboard, then we pick life lessons, and then we get to open up the discussion. Where does it apply in life? How have you come in this situation in life? We share some testimonies so that by the time these learners get to interface these kind of situations in a real life situation, they can easily be able to relate with what they have been learning on the chessboard.
Sidney, do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And if you do, what does think strategically mean? Well, if you were to talk to a lay person, an ordinary person like me probably, who doesn't know very much about the ABCs regarding chess?
Well, to think strategically, on the chessboard, you also have to look at, on the board, the position of the pieces on board, but you also have to sort of think what the other person has in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking strategically, you have to think, well, what is this person planning on doing to win the game? So then I have to think like him, as well as plan ahead, so I can counter what he's thinking. So in order to be able to think strategically, you need that kind of forethought, planning, creativity, so that you can also get in and do the best that you can with what you have on the board. And like Robert said, you may lose a critical piece, but that's not the end of the game. It makes you even think even more as to how now can I get back into this game to get the upper hand.
What would you say if you are in the process of playing chess that you would consider to be the most regrettable decision?
Ooh, most regrettable decision.
Right.
In a lot of things, Shaka, what we do, we move with haste. And in chess, if you move with haste, you miss out on the plans that the other person have for you.
What exactly do you mean by moving with haste?
You move before you think. And in life, we do that also. We move, and then we say, well, we'll suffer the consequences later. So what you want to do is not so be and so hasty to make a move, or in life, to come up with a critical decision. You need to take your time, get all your facts together as much as you have, and then make the decision.
Very interesting. Well, time happens not to be our best ally in Sydney, and so you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, so please don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
Voices, we're talking about the news and issues you're talking about, sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower, and change the rules. It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
It's time for Our Voices.
And not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the fall of the Berlin Wall marked the end of the Cold War and brought about a number of significant changes in Africa. We'll take a closer look on how the fall of the Berlin Wall has shaped the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Today we are talking about chess as an agent for social change. Our guests are Robert Katende, founder and director of the Sports Outreach Ministry Chess Academy, Sydney Gardiner, director of the Sports Outreach Ministry Chess Academy in Baltimore, Maryland, and by Skype from the state of Washington in the United States, we are joined by Benjamin Mukumbia, president of the student body of Northwest University and Kirkland, and the beneficiary of the SOM Academy, and currently a major in biology, and hoping one day, just one day, to be a doctor with a real clinic. I have to say, gentlemen, once again, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you, Ndogo Shaka.
Okay, thank you.
You're most welcome. Earlier, I was talking, I believe it was during the break, Robert, what are the other important qualities that one could learn from chess? And we talked about, for example, accountability, responsibility. So, in fact, chess can teach you very rare and incredible leadership skills.
Absolutely, yes. There are things that you can never be able to comprehend, but when you get to have an opportunity of interfacing with chess, actually, I just call upon that every child should be introduced to chess. Because, number one, it gives you that self-esteem of taking personal decisions and being accountable to your decision. When you think through it and you're able to make a move, and what is so interesting in chess, you can't say pass. If it's your move, you have to come up with a move. So people who are struggling with decision making, it helps you to learn how to make decisions. Many times people want an absolute or an ideal situation to make a decision, but every situation has disadvantages and advantages. So how do you decide when to make a decision and over what? So you just have to analyze the situation and you have to make a decision and you be accountable to that decision. So that is a sense of responsibility. Great leaders are also good at chess because this is all about you holding yourself accountable, and we find ourselves in moments of, as leaders, in moments of critical decision making. And this is what happens even on the chess board as well. So it is just a platform that trains you into these important virtues, and that can be applied in day-to-day life situations.
But what about some who actually say that, again, chess is not your ordinary type of game or pastime, really? Because some of the people that are very well known worldwide to be on top of chess, when you look at their IQs, for example, intelligence quotient, you're talking about very high up there. I was looking, for example, at the IQ of one Bobby Fischer, a one-time world grandmaster, whatever. He was on top of his game. He had about 180 IQ was probably in the neighborhood of Albert Einstein. So you're talking about people who are not really your ordinary type of human beings, Sydney?
Well, to me, and I'm going to say this, maybe a misnomer, because I've seen people play chess who were not good students. But what they bring to the chess game is an ability to see the board, develop their creativity, develop some discipline, how they approach the game. So you don't have to have a high IQ to participate in a game of chess. Once you learn the mechanism, the idea of the game of chess, how the pieces move, then that's when you start to develop your strategies, your creativity, and your analytical skills. All of those things, I think, are important to the game of chess, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
You don't.
To play the game.
You don't have to. Now, Benjamin, what about you? Do you have to be a genius, for example, to feel very comfortable playing chess, just like the late Bobby Fischer, for example? His IQ was in the neighborhood of 180.
I definitely think you don't have to be a genius to play chess. I do believe that it's the exact opposite, because IQ just measures the ability for someone to learn. And chess is one sport or game that can help someone learn even more. I think it's a stereotype that I thought it was only back in Uganda, but it is interesting that it is even here in the United States. When I introduced the game of chess, people were like, oh, you need to be smart. And people consider chess players to be smart, which is the exact opposite. The game itself, because of the things we talked about earlier, the character development, the patience you gain, and the thinking skills that you gain without even knowing, it makes you even smarter and more conscious when making decisions. And I think that's the difference between chess players and non-chess players.
Now, Benjamin, a kid from Katwe, very ordinary slum in the Ugandan capital, Kampala, you have had a taste of Hollywood, of what it is to be Hollywood, because you starred in The Queen of Katwe, and if I remember very carefully, this was a project which was sponsored by Walt Disney in Hollywood itself. How does it feel like to be associated with the stars of Hollywood?
I would say it is a platform on its own, and it puts you on a world stage without even knowing, and you have to be very careful with the platform that's given to you and use it very wisely. That's the need that I didn't know at first, but every young person is like, if I get started in a Disney movie, or if someone asks me or acts my role, I'll be there. It's like a dream come true, but it comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of things to handle, and you have to be wise with it, and you have to get so many people to talk to you into your life so that you really live a life that exemplifies the good morals and the character that you want to pass on to the other people and your peers.
Have you, for example, walked somewhere and suddenly someone recognized that they have perhaps seen you on the silver screen somewhere?
Oh, yes, that has happened. And most recent, professor showed the movie in class, and some people didn't know. So I went to my speech class, and instead of doing the speech class, everyone was like, hey, tell us about your story. I was like, But it was interesting. Yeah.
And how did that affect your relationships with your fellow students on campus?
I'm the student body president. I was already serving, and people knew me as the student body president. But those who didn't know that I was studying the Disney movie were even more surprised, and they were like, wow. We don't. So they came, and most of them took me out for coffee, and I was like, okay. And we got to talk even more, which is good because you get to pour into their lives and they get to pour into your life, which is really wonderful.
How is it like to exude humility?
I didn't understand the question pretty well.
How is it like to exude humility? In other words, to take it easy and be your real self without being arrogant, without wearing your chips on your shoulders and all that kind of stuff. Because you are a star, legitimate star.
Dr. Shaka, having grown up in Uganda, and every summer I go back home, and I think that humbles me. I see people with a lot of potential and not having the opportunities that I've gotten. That humbles me. And I get to realize that all the status, all the things we get in life, it's to glorify and be able to teach other people as we learn from them, but not to be arrogant and think we know it all, because, yes, I may be a good chess player, I might be doing well in my classes, but there's so many things that as a person I'm still learning and I'm developing in. I think that keeps me humble, and I have a desire to learn more and grow as a person.
If you had the opportunity to look straight in the camera and talk to some of the people that might actually be watching you right now, especially people who probably come from the same type of social economic conditions that you came from, what message would you have for those types of young people?
I think I would tell them that hope should be the first thing that they should have. They should have, and keep working hard, because it's not a one-day process. It takes a long time. You have to keep the hope high. You have to keep trusting that things will go well, and you have to work hard in whatever skill you're trying to pursue, because, yes, even though it's hard with limited resources and all that, but the skills you gain are always wonderful, and I think that's one thing that I've gotten to discover as I've grown up from limited resources, and now I'm here right in the States where people have a lot access to a lot of resources, and I'm like, well, if those resources maybe were back home, things would be a certain way, but still, yes, home it's hard, but because of limited resources, but I do still think that we can really work hard and be successful if we keep the hopes high and keep working hard.
And focus like a laser beam.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting. Robert, you obviously have come a long way.
Yeah.
A kid from the slums of Kampala, you are now pretty much playing in major leagues, as they say here. You are a world-class type of player. You hang out with people like former U.S. President Barack Obama. You have, in fact, become his foundation's ambassador, African ambassador. How does it feel like to be His Excellency, the ambassador, Robert Katende?
Yeah, thank you, Ndugu Shaka. Actually,
you hang out with people like Bill Gates, who for several years used to be the richest man on this planet Earth.
Yeah, I think it's, as I told you earlier on, it's quite humbling, but it's also a great motivation. And I think this should be a great motivation, not only to me, but even to the people out there who choose to step out for others, for the common good. Sometimes we always want to do things for ourselves, but if you choose to step out in your neighborhood, sometimes people say, where will I start from? But you start from your own vicinity, mm-hmm. and you reach out to your neighbor, you reach out to your friends, and give a hand to someone who needs help. Yeah, it really pays off, because I never had, this was not my ambition. I never knew that I would get to all this far, but I chose to start with the little I had, just a single chessboard I had right from university. And I said, let me step out and see what I can do to help at least one life, which one life has turned out to be in thousands of youths being transformed and impacted. It wasn't easy, because sometimes people thought I was crazy. How mm-hmm. do you finish with such an engineering degree? Then you go back to the slums where you came from. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense, actually. Even to me, I was always wondering. But I felt like this was giving me peace of mind if I go in there and I try to really be there for these kids. And honestly speaking, I am now celebrating 9 degrees from the youths I've impacted. So I've come just to kind of get a revelation that actually my journey to go all the way to the university wasn't for my sake, but perhaps it was simply to know the journey so that I can be able to lead others there.
You know, you are a remarkable man, because I think it was one of the Ugandan daily newspaper, New Vision, they essentially found you to be, in their view, the most influential Ugandan. How does that feel like?
Yeah, it is a great responsibility, because sometimes you step out down there and no one sees you, but you can never deny the testimony of a transformed life. Looking at Benjamin, it's quite humbling to see what he's turned out to be. Benjamin happens to stay with me right at home.
Yes.
Even when he comes for holidays. But I've been with him for 10 years.
You were his guardian,
and,
in effect.
It's quite humbling to see, because I never had an idea. I didn't even, but I remember he was in senior four, completing ordinary level, and he told me, Coach, you want to be a neurosurgeon. I told him, Benjamin, dream high, but let us first focus on what is available now. You need to pass your senior four first. And then he passes senior six, and then things kept on evolving, allowing things to happen, and all of a sudden we were able to get a tuition scholarship at Northwest University, which came with also other conditions, because we needed to pay for the board and meals, which couldn't work out. So I ended up opening up a GoFundMe page, and the people came out. So people identify with the work, the good work that we are doing, and they come on board to give us a hand to do what we are called to do.
So do you agree with some who say that in some situations you may have to go with the army that you have rather than the army that perhaps you imagine to have?
Yeah, I wish to have. That is very, very right, actually. For sure, we need, and this, I think, goes to every one of us, that we need to learn to use what we have to get what we don't have. Many times we focus on what we don't have. But if you can do self-assessment and say, okay, what do I have? What can I offer? What is available now? Because that is more important than you living in an imaginary life.
Tell us a little bit more about the Robert Katende Initiative. And you, obviously, looking at your book, you are indeed an individual of initiative, remarkable initiative. I saw how you went through school, the school system in Uganda, for example, up to the point where you graduated from university and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I chose to really start Robert Katende Initiative. I realized back home, I would say in Africa, actually, we lack a lot of stuff. And many times we always don't want to get started. Mm-hmm. We want to run to other people who have started theirs. And I decided to say, no, we need to initiate. We need to be the people to initiate the things. Mm. That's why even when I started the Somchess Academy, I called the first bunch of children pioneers. Mm. You need to be the pioneers. You need to start it. It has not been there, but if you dream it and you believe in it, work for it. And that's what I kind of believe in.
Very interesting.
You know, Sydney, what inspires you to go out there, identify, for example, young people who come from very humble beginnings and try to make them make something out of themselves so that they could one day be in a position to contribute positively to society?
Well, Shaka, what inspires me of seeing examples like Robert? I've worked my whole career. I've done things in the civic arena to help people. And that's, I think, is one of my callings, is to be around to help people, particularly our young. I think a lot of our kids either don't have the opportunity to exceed, or they don't take advantage of those opportunities to exceed.
Mm.
And so I think my purpose is to be there for them, to show them what I've learned from my experiences, and to hope that they also can carve their own way using their own thought patterns, their ideas, and things that we hopefully train them to or show them how to become better individuals as they grow older. And I think that's what inspires me, is to see the success stories like the Benjamins and the Fionas. And so I'm hoping to duplicate that here in Baltimore. Now, so that's what inspires me, is to see these young kids coming through and hopefully they have an impact on how their future lives hopefully are developed.
How do you feel like participating in a situation or an exercise where through you and Robert Katende, you're having some kind of cross-fertilization of ideas? You're talking about Robert Katende, who comes from Africa, the mother continent, where your ancestors came from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the 50s and 60s, it was another group of people, made up of people like Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, for example, people like George Padmore and all that kind of stuff, people like Paul Robeson that helped people like Ghanaian Kwame Nkrumah, Kenyan Jomo Kenyatta, Senegalese Leopold Seda Senghor, and what have you, to fight for their rights and fight for independence of Africa. And here you are now, with this kind of alliance with Robert Katende.
Yes.
How does it feel?
Oh, it's humbling. I tell you, Shaka, one of the things that Robin and I have talked about is at some point in time, as we progress into the future, we may be able to develop some kind of an exchange program.
Mm.
The children from Uganda coming to America to play chess.
Right, right.
And vice versa.
Very interesting.
So that's something I think, again, we can't predict the future and how long that will take. But that's one of the things I see as part of our future and our future collaborations, is to see these kids come in, exchange cultural things, ideas, as well as heighten the game of chess.
Very interesting. Benjamin, it can't have been a life full of roses since you became a chess expert, but obviously chess has done incredible things to you, because you are now on the verge of attaining your dream of becoming a doctor with a real clinic. Tell me, can you share with us what you consider something that has been very difficult in your life? What are some of the obstacles that you have met along the way, and how were you able, for example, to overcome them?
There are so many obstacles even before coming to the States. The States came with its own obstacles, and then back home I had some obstacles too. Even when I had joined the chess club, we were in the slums, right in the swamp. So I know in the movie, The Queen of Katwe, they saw a slum of it flooding. Yes, it really did flood for some good time. And I lost all my books, and I went to school with no notes. But you have to study, and get good grades anyway.
Mm.
And meals were sometimes a problem too. And that was really frustrating. You go to school on a hungry stomach and sometimes there's no food. And you have to still study, and sometimes you're studying with people who are in a better class than you, but you still have to push through. There are so many obstacles. Even walking to school sometimes was a long way, but through all that, I was able to push through. When I came to the States, it also came with its own obstacles, the cultural differences. Having grown up in Uganda, I had not used a computer before, so coming here, it was I had to learn how to do homework on my computer, navigate the web pages, and the first year was a chaos. But I was able to deal with that too. Even food itself, coming here, I was like, I didn't want to eat because the food was just not so favorable.
Mm.
But I was eating only salad and salad, and people were like, "Oh, you're very healthy." They didn't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, but at the end, you have to push through. Yeah.
I see, Robert. Who would you say was your role model? Who is that particular individual who lent you his or her shoulders to climb on, so that you could see a little bit further?
Yeah, thank you, Ndugushaka, for that question. I think there isn't any particular person, like one individual, but it's been a team of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
In first and foremost, I would say my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
She was a rock.
She's my hero.
Without her in your book,
Definitely.
You probably wouldn't be here.
I totally believe I wouldn't be here because... when my mom, I grew up thinking that my grandmother was my mom until she introduced me to my mom.
Really?
And she's really my hero. And, you know, it was a time of chaos because it was during wartime, you know, running in the bush with my grandmom.
And she's no longer with us.
She is, actually. She is. She's 104.
She's 104?
Yes.
And
I remember 2 years back, I was actually able to celebrate her first birthday in life.
104, because I remember in the book you mentioned her when she's like around 90.
Yeah, she's really...
Very interesting.
She has lost her sight, but at least she's still able to hear and understand everything. So it's quite a blessing to really have her. She's my hero. But there have also been other people who have come in my life, like my aunties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those have been
your
there
aunties.
When I lost my mom.
What about Aloysius Chaze?
Aloysius Chaze is my godfather. He's been there. He actually took me up when I was in college. And, you know, like you're even starving, but he was my soccer coach as well.
Really?
And I learned from him that he didn't really want me because of my skill in the field, but he needed me to succeed in life because he would go beyond the soccer field.
You actually say that without him, we probably would never have had an opportunity to meet you the way you are.
Yes, I do believe so, because he has really mentored me, he guided me spiritually, he's prayed for me.
Unfortunately, time is not our best ally, and on that note, our distinguished guests are Robert Katende, Sydney Gardner, and Benjamin Mukumbya. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Uganda. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.